Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll get to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It definitely does look
It looks hot, and it's maybe because I know it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's a certain color of the sky that tells you this is going to be a hot day.
It just feels even like it's going to be hot in New York. It's pretty, though. It's certainly
calm waters pretty. Of the East River. Ugh. Sam, would you ever jet ski in the East River to go under the bridges and kind of see the sky?
No. No. Jet skiing, big bodies of water, I'm not a fan of.
So you don't like jet ski at all, though?
I've jet skied before. I've jet skied once or twice, and it was cool, but it was like there are other thrills that I would enjoy rather than being on a jet ski, and maybe you fall off, and maybe nobody finds. Like, I've jet skied.
Can you swim?
I can swim. Oh, I can swim. Okay. But, like,
in this river, there have been people that have fallen off and never found again.
I can't swim.
And you would jet ski.
And I do go on jet skis, but I go on jet skis where I know when I look down, I'm okay.
I just need some people around me.
Clear water and people around
me. Yeah.
I'm not jet skiing in this.
It's 100%. It's too much going on.
Dirty and nasty and gross that is. And people be out there jet skiing, water getting in their mouth. It's just gross.
I would do it.
I'm looking forward to doing it. Tropical places, I'll jet ski with people around me.
Yeah.
Of course.
I've been
first time I ever jet ski was in the Caribbean. I love
what's
that.
What's the thing where you hang off the bat like you
water ski?
I think it was water skiing. So I was in Hong Kong with some friends doing something. And I was hanging off the back, which was cool because it was I was with friends.
See,
and
there were
people
there you
around.
Go. Yeah, that's how I am.
But like, hey, let me go jet ski with a play.
That's
me.
It'd
be cool because of the location.
No, it was tubing. Was it a tube?
You're hanging on the tube on the back of a boat. So he's dragging you around. You got to hold on.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a fast boat. Oh. It was like you just sit.
The faster you go, the more fun it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll do all that.
Yeah.
But I'll do that with
people. This is amazing. Going under the historic bridges of New York City with the skyline on a beautiful day like this.
You can move. If they somehow can magically move the bridge to the Caribbean, I'll do it.
Fair enough. Well, it looks really nice. So last night we had some preseason action this week, and of course, everybody else in the league starts to get underway in the preseason. And before we get into what we saw last night, I'll ask each of you, both NFL veteran players, do you remember your very first preseason game? Do you go back that far where you're like, yeah, I'll never – because you remember your debut. You have to remember your actual NFL debut, right? But a preseason game, did that even stay with you?
I held out, shockingly.
That's right.
I would say I held out. I dressed for Philly. I didn't play in Philly.
Right.
And I think the next week we played the Giants, and I had a few snaps. I probably played a lot. I may have had two catches maybe, I think, against the Giants, I would say.
Two catches. How many yards do you think you had it for?
14 maybe.
16.
16.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a big night.
But you got some yards.
Who did I catch the ball from? Like, who was throwing to me?
I was just going to ask you that.
I don't know if it was Neil O'Donnell.
The great John Pacey from Long Island?
No, was it Foley maybe? Glenn Foley? Neil, Glenn, maybe Neil and Glenn? They both were there. Neil was there.
Glenn Foley was there that early?
Yeah, Glenn was the backup. He was our backup.
I didn't realize he was there that early. Sam, how about you? I could tell you, though, 10 years to the day yesterday, you made your preseason debut.
Oh, wow.
What do you remember about it?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it at all. I don't remember.
With the Cardinals.
Yeah, I know I was with the Cardinals. Obviously, played with the Cardinals, right? Drafted 2011, fourth round. Like, I don't remember. All I know about my rookie year, and maybe Key will probably resonate with this, like, I wanted to earn the respect of the guys on the team, like, one way or another. And so my thing, right, linebacker, played at Texas, right, the thing is, like, I'm never going to turn down a hit.
Yeah.
Whether it's in a practice or in a game.
The defensive guys probably have more of that mentality.
Yeah.
You certainly didn't turn down an opportunity to hit because our research tells us in this game you did have a tackle, but you also had an unnecessary roughness penalty.
Which I'll take.
In a preseason game,
I'll take it. I mean, I'm sure it looked bad, but I mean, it was about respect, unnecessary roughness. At least y'all know I'm a tough guy, right? But that's my thing. It was like,
you tried to hurt the team.
Nah, dude. I wrote down a list of goals. And you know, you have like, you know, want to, you know, rather, you know, start. One of my goals, I wanted to be the starting left outside linebacker for the Cardinals. People said, you're a rookie, you're not going to start. By the grace of God, I started. I had 8 sacks or 7 sacks my rookie year. Right. Okay. I wanted to, I think my goal was like 9 or 10, something. Right. Mm-hmm. numbers. I had stats like interceptions or, you know, forced fumbles. But one of the stats I had was I wanted to like
personal
never
foul.
Right, exactly. Well, the step before, never turned down a hit in a practice or in a game. I wrote it down on my little goal sheet.
Okay.
And so, like, if there was an opportunity, we were in pads, and there was a hit to be made, I needed to make that hit in practice and in games. And so I'll take the personal foul. I hurt the team. It was a preseason game.
Who cares?
It selfish. Mattered, but it didn't count.
Selfish. That's selfish. You hurt the team.
I needed it, though, for me, because nobody knew me.
I can see Belichick after that game. Well, Sam's got some things we got to clean up.
But that's the thing. Like, nobody knew me. Like, nobody knew me. So it's like, okay, you're the nice guy, you know, fourth-round pick out of Texas. It's like, at least for me, I'm getting a little bit of respect from the guys some way, somehow.
Yeah, let them know.
Let them know. You know what I mean?
You can always, I always tell my son this. My son plays hockey, and I always tell him, you can always say you're sorry after a hit.
You're right.
Right? You can never apologize for being too soft.
But the benefit, the researcher said it. It wasn't a full 15 yarder. It was like, you know, half the distance.
It was
of the
half
goal
the distance of the goal.
It was already there. You know what I mean, fine. Key?
Like jumping off sides.
You don't remember?
Yeah, we had some dudes on offense. We had Larry Fitzgerald. We had some dudes. So they were gonna be fine.
You don't remember though. You don't remember the play, do you?
No, I don't remember any of this. I'd love to see that. Actually, I wouldn't love to see the film because I think it'd be pretty embarrassing. But I don't remember doing that. I don't remember the tackle.
Well, do you think Mac Jones will remember the moment last night, and not even the first ball he threw, but the fact that so Cam Newton started as expected, but Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback that's gotten a lot of attention already in New England, steps out on the field after Cam Newton took the first two series. He goes out. He's with mostly starters. And an ovation from a crowded Foxborough, which they haven't had. Obviously, it's been a long time since they've had a crowded Foxborough. He gets an ovation. It shows you who's the popular guy up in New England, Key.
It's New England, man. They want it a certain way. Let's be honest with ourselves and not play and sugarcoat it. They want what they want. Yeah, and they want what looks like Tom Brady, and Cam Newton does not look like Tom Brady in no shape, form, fashion whatsoever. And Mac Jones is close to that. And you look at it, it's his team of the future.
Wearing number 10, by the way, after wearing 50 throughout.
Yeah, I thought they were going to roll him out at 50, but I guess he earned the right to wear 10 in a game.
Already in the game, yeah.
I think that his future is going to possibly be bright up there, but not this year. He was drafted for not this year, but for the future. Cam Newton, and I say this, Bill Belichick and his staff didn't go into free agency signing all those players and doing what they did to build the roster because they knew they were going to draft Mac Jones. They did this because they knew they were going to bring Cam Newton back, and he needed to have a supporting cast to be successful. Mac Jones can benefit from that long term. If Cam somehow stubs his toe, doesn't live up to expectations or play the way that he's capable of playing, much like I told him a couple weeks ago when he was on the show. If you go out there, and you remember me telling him this.
I remember.
If you take your ass out there and you look anything like you looked last year, then you need to keep going home and retire. And I let him know that. I have no problem telling him that. But I don't believe, nor do I think, he will look like that. You know, I know we're showing highlights of Chase Young on the backside. Get your sack in Cam. That's not Cam. That's the left tackle.
Facts.
If the left tackle does his job, he won't get sacked. He can step into the throat. So that's not on a Cam Newton. And when you don't do those sort of things, that's what you get. You get bad football. But I think Mac Jones will have a future, just not today. Bill Belichick done already said, Cam Newton is the damn starter. In a minute, Bill's going to say, stop asking him that question. You watch.
I just wonder with the health piece. That's my only thing. Because even Cam said he hadn't been healthy since, 2016?
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I wonder. Like, is he going to be healthy enough to play winning football?
Yeah.
And he's got the team around him. He's got tight ends, right? Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. They're trying to rebuild. They've got some beast setbacks at running back and a really good defense.
Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, so they got some receivers, too.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. I just wonder, is he going to be healthy enough? And he said that he hadn't been before. Maybe he is now.
Health is critical for him. You know, he missed 2 years ago. He missed all of the season based on his foot. But that his injuries haven't been because of the style of the play. He got injured in the pocket. I think a lot of people think his injuries are is because of the style of play in which he's running the ball and doing those
RG3 kind of thing.
That's not what that is.
That's not him. Yeah, no. But I'll tell you this, though. If, as we saw, the left tackle or whoever it is, anybody in the offensive line is going to let a Chase Young get through, that's a problem. Now, Cam, this was funny. Cam last night talked about his impressions when he met Chase Young on the field.
He's smaller than I thought. I just messed with that's a joke. That's a joke. I just messed with
it's probably because he all of a sudden just arrived pretty quickly, and there's nothing small about Chase Young.
There's nothing small about Cam.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Cam is about 6'5", 250.
I interviewed him last year, I think it was. The year before in Carolina, I interviewed him. And I know Cam, and I've interviewed him many times. But for whatever reason, this particular time, I'm standing next to him just talking. And I said to myself, damn, he's huge. Just like Tom Brady. Like I told you about Peyton Manning. When me and Peyton was together and hanging out one day, I was sitting there going, this dude is huge. Like, really big. These quarterbacks be large, man. And you see why I say the smaller dudes are really small.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you have your thoughts about Kyler Murray. Let's take a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've talked a lot about the young quarterbacks, the anticipation for Fields tomorrow, and also what we saw out of Mac Jones and also Jalen Hurts in his second year as well. Dale is in North Carolina, wants to discuss. Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's happening, Dale?
How you doing? Hey, what's going on? Hey, Key, I want to know what's going on with the Mac Jones hateration. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback drafted in the first round. You say when you draft somebody in the first round, you're expected to start. He's gotten rave reviews from his teammates for his maturity, his work ethic, the capacity to take on a lot of information, and you downplay all of that.
You said if Mac Jones balls
out in the preseason, it means nothing. But if Justin Fields, why isn't Mac Jones ready to start, but Justin Fields and Trey Lance are ready to start?
Now you're going to listen to me now, right? let me bring you underneath the hood. Here's why. First of all, it's not haterism or hate on Mac Jones. It's trying to educate people on what the head coach believes who the starter is and what the head coach of the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick is going to do. They went out and they signed a bunch of players and Cam Newton back so that they could be successful. They drafted Mac Jones. Okay, Bill's not ready to play a rookie quarterback. If you know anything about Belichick, veterans are important to him. So is Mac Jones going to eventually be the starter in New England? Absolutely. Is it going to be this year? No. Now let me move forward to Trey Lance. His head coach in Kyle Shanahan said that Trey Lance is going to play. Not me. The head coach said it. So if the head coach in New England says Cam Newton's a starter, I would think Cam Newton's a starter. If the head coach in Kyle Shanahan says that Trey Lance is going to play, I would think Trey Lance is going to play. Now let's move on to Chicago. Justin Fields is getting rave reviews from his teammates. And there's questions on whether or not Andy Dalton could actually help them. I never said that Andy Dalton is a bad quarterback and shouldn't play. I said that Justin Fields, if he does everything right, he's going to have the veterans. If you are a listener of the show, I've said this many times. Once the veterans start chirping and they say the things that they need to say, it's going to get the attention of management as well as the head coach. And what happened? Jimmy Graham has started to say, huh, watch out for this kid. Now Allen Robinson is saying the same thing. And we had a longtime Chicago Bears center in Olin Kreutz on just now, and he says the same thing. So if you are listening and you are paying attention to me, not the rest of people that work at ESPN, you will know that. So please, next time you try to come at me with correct facts, please, Dale. Thank you.
And to put a bow on that also. There it is. To put a bow on it, simple as this. In Chicago, they need Justin Fields to be good. That's important to them. Bill Belichick doesn't need that. What he needs is to have a winning season because that's what he's about. And that also, they do need a quarterback of the future. they think they have that in Mac Jones.
Yes.
And the best case scenario in New England, all kidding aside, and I know we have fun with it, the whole Boston thing, but the reality is this. They want to make sure Mac Jones is ready. So the best case scenario is he looks like the guy, but they still have Cam that can be Mr. Right Now.
Yes.
And that's the way you want to do this. And that's why I think Bill's not under any pressure to play Mac Jones. Who's going to pressure him to do that? There's no reason to. You trust Bill Belichick. But Pace, Nagy, they are on the hot seat. So they've got to play a guy that they can buy themselves time with. And that's what Justin Fields represents. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Meanwhile, in Jacksonville. Yeah, that's definitely a summer. See, that's summer. That feels summer there. Urban Meyer comes in from college, takes over an NFL team in Jacksonville, and he refuses to do it the NFL way. He's doing it his way. And that even includes the fact that your team was so bad last year. What, they have one win? They get the number one pick, and they take a guy that people think is a generational. They had one win, right?
Was it two or one?
Did they have two?
I think they had two because the Jets screwed it up, remember?
Oh, man. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm trying to block stuff like how many losses or wins the Jets had even. But still, they get the number one pick in a draft where Trevor Lawrence is considered a generational talent at quarterback, right? So you get a guy that you know, you hope is for 10 years, 15 years, your guy. So you would think then, all right, well, he's going to start, right? He's going to start. There's no thoughts about this. Urban Meyer, though, will not commit to a starter no matter how much the media asks him.
Is there really a chance that you guys won't start Trevor Lawrence against Houston in a month?
Is there really a chance?
Yeah.
I think we'll answer that as it gets closer.
But it's still very much an open competition to see who gets that honor.
Yes.
It's amazing that he just – well, we'll see as we get closer. So per ESPN Stats and Information Research, seven of the past nine quarterbacks that were selected first in the draft have started their team's season opener. Seven of nine. The only two who didn't, Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff. So what do you guys what do you guys make of the fact that he won't commit to Trevor Lawrence?
I'm okay with that. As I look at that list, I think – Cam Newton's the 2011 Cam Newton team in Carolina was a decent team. The Rams, I think, with Sam Bradford, I don't remember. I think they were okay. They were not as awful. They were not awful like that, if I can remember. But when you think about it, maybe it's just that the Jaguars and Urban Meyer and the staff right now don't feel like his team is capable of protecting the quarterback.
You're saying this is less about Trevor Lawrence and more about what's around him.
I think
so. You think that's what this decision is about?
Yeah, because you don't select Trevor Lawrence if you're not going to play him. It has to be a reason why you're saying to yourself, he's not the starter. Rather than say, hey, my team sucks and I don't want to get him killed, K-I-L-T, I'm just going to say right now that I don't know who's going to start. That's the only thing I can think of that would make Urban Meyer not want to play Trevor Lawrence, or at least name him the starter, because clearly they drafted number one overall. You're paying him $30+ million. You're going to start him.
Yeah, I think he knows. He's just not saying it right now. You know what I mean? Like Nick Sirianni said. He said, "Well, we got an open competition." No, it's Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I think that Urban Meyer knows that Trevor Lawrence is going to start. I also think Urban Meyer values competition. You talked about that drill he did, you know, one-on-ones. That's who's going to make
what
the team.
What competition? I ain't no damn competition.
Well,
he values
the idea
in
of
practice,
competition.
This
in practice.
One-on-one thing that they do where
stop
you
stop playing
battle.
Games with the quarterback and just play the dude so he can get the reps.
See, that's what I believe.
If,
I agree.
If you think you could protect him.
But I can't go there because – and here's why. Jacksonville has been bad for so long.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to get Jacksonville better to protect him and have Trevor Lawrence be a better future, better, it's like they may not be good next year. Not this year. They may not be good next year.
The year after.
And the year after. So it's like when is the right time? For me and a team like this, I think it's the right time now. Get him all the reps that he can, build around him. But I also think that Urban Meyer knows who his starter is going to be. He just doesn't want to say it. Why he doesn't want to say it? Maybe, that, like I said, the idea of competition. Because competition does breed excellence. It helps make you better. So maybe it helps Trevor Lawrence get to new heights.
Don't know if I buy it, but I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. If he doesn't play, it's going to look bad because you don't might not want to say publicly it's because we don't have enough talent or we don't want to get
see,
this kid.
I feel like
but
that
it's
going to
make it look like. But and you know, though, that might be what it is, and that sounds logical. But on the surface, for people like me, you know, I'm just a reporter. What do I know? It's like, well, Trevor Lawrence must not be that good. Like, he must be a bust.
You
is
see,
this
I don't
a bust?
Think,
like,
I don't
you
think,
know that's going to happen.
I don't think it's Trevor, though. I think, if anything, if for whatever reason, it's the first preseason game, but for whatever reason, he does not start. I think it has something to do with the way they want to protect him and how they feel about their team moving forward.
My only pushback on that is, because I can see where you're coming from, okay, let's give him some, let's get our team better. Let's not throw him out to the wolves, right? Blindside, just people getting killed.
K-I-L-T.
K-I-L-T. But the thing is, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, if you're a part of that team organization, you don't start him and you start losing early. Now you're 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. The season's gone. Like, maybe Trevor Lawrence can come in and provide a spark. Now you're winning games.
Give me
games
a reason to buy a ticket. Like, that's what
not
I'm
even
saying.
That, like, not even that. I'm just saying, like, from an organizational standpoint.
Oh, imagine that.
From an organizational standpoint, like he could be the reason why they win 3 to 4, 5, 8 games that year. So give him the opportunity. Get better, build around him. Like, I get Key, I get your point about not, you know, the team's not great around him, but there's no time to waste, right? It's almost like the Justin Fields conversation. The only difference, this team is not built like Chicago. But if he's that good, which we all believe he is, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of this stuff sometimes it's just playing this game with the media and fans is never a good thing. Tune into an NL battle Sunday as the Mets host the Dodgers, presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN TV. So there's one starting quarterback who's not going to see any preseason action this weekend, but we think he should. We'll tell you who that is next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN News.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. A little Friday vibe here in the studio, as we always do on Fridays. Alan Hahn, Sam Macho in with Key. Key definitely vibing. We're getting closer, man. We're getting closer to the weekend. Almost there. Getting closer also to tomorrow night, Giants-Jets preseason, and for Daniel Jones, a very important season, certainly for him. But belief is that he will not – I don't think he actually – no, he's not going to play tomorrow in the preseason. But there's a video that's already starting to circulate from practice where he has a, it's a terrible looking interception, but if you watch it closely, it's not really completely on him. So the concerns about him will continue because he's got to prove himself to be their quarterback of the future. To talk about that with us, David Deal, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants, right now on the Goodyear Hotline. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. Happy Friday. Good morning. Hope you guys are off to a great start to your Friday.
We are right now. The question is, will the Giants get off to a good start with Daniel Jones this year with the weapons they have around him, with Saquon Barkley back and healthy? What are your expectations for DJ this season?
Well, I think this is the year that he has to prove that he is the franchise quarterback of the New York Giants, considering the fact they went out and completely retooled this offense for him, and the fact that they have two first-round draft picks in 2022. That puts precedent on him right now. I know a lot of people ask me, comparing Daniel Jones in his second year to Eli Manning. Well, there was a big difference. In Eli Manning's second year, Tiki Barber ran for 1,800 yards, and that's something that Daniel Jones didn't have in Saquon Barkley last year in his first year in Jason Garrett's system. So this year, going to get Kenny Golladay, that true X receiver who has that 50-50 catch radius and who can just outman people, especially down when you get into the red zone. That's the type of player we had in Plaxico Burress. Sterling Shepard's having an absolute beast of a camp, and I really think this is the best that I've seen him look in his career. And then you think about Darius Slayton and John Ross being those deep vertical threats, and then Kadarius Toney out of Florida drafting him. He was the shiftiest player in the SEC. You can do your jet sweeps, your bubble screens, and almost use him as an extension of the run because he can take a five-yard slant 60 yards to the house. So for Daniel Jones, ball security is going to be job security for him. So on second down, understanding the sticks, not throwing erratic football, and living for third down or on third down, not taking a careless sack after he goes through his second read, start to see the rush so that you don't knock yourself out of field goal position and knock yourself out of putting 3 points on the board. Those are the main things I'm looking to see out of Daniel Jones. But like you mentioned, Alan, to start in this weekend, neither the Jets or the Giants are going to use this as like a regular preseason game. All of them are using it as essentially as their fourth preseason game, knowing that they got to cut down their roster from 90 to 85 on the 17th, then down to 80 on the 24th, and then on the 31st down to 53. So you're going to see a lot of young players playing this weekend for both the Jets and the Giants, and both head coaches are going to be assessing who understands and who has been able to adapt to the game plans that we've dialed up and the schemes we've dialed up throughout OTAs, throughout minicamp, and throughout the preseason, because it's real vanilla. The schemes run offensively, defensively, but who can adjust, who can rise to the challenge, and more importantly, who is mentally tough and focused in these games? Because a lot of times you'll see young players, especially when it comes to special teams, 10 guys out on the field for the punt team or on the kickoff return team, and there's somebody running out late. This is going to be one of the most competitive years to make an NFL roster. And for those young guys, it's got to start this weekend.
With all that said, David, who is more important to the Giants' success? You mentioned Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones. Is it Daniel or is it Saquon?
I think it's Saquon. When you look at Saquon and what he means to an offense, he makes the wide receivers better. He makes the offensive line better. And he makes Daniel Jones better. And when you think about now going out and getting Kyle Rudolph opposite Evan Ingram and with Kadarius Toney, it's going to force the defense's hand. Okay, you guys want to go small nickel. Now, okay, we're going to have a numbers game and we're going to have a condensed formation and we're going to be able to run downhill at you. You want to go big because we have Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield. Now you're going to have Kadarius Toney or Evan Ingram matched up one-on-one in the passing game up against a bigger linebacker. You can get those little flare screens and those little slants out there, as I said, almost as an extension of the run, so you're not chasing the chains on third down. So I definitely think that this offense and everything in 2021 has to go through Saquon Barkley, not only to bring out the strength in the play-action passing game and utilizing Daniel Jones' athleticism, but the strength of the New York Giants is the defense. The Dory Jackson addition, the additions to the defensive line and up front into the linebacker position, they're the ones that need that ball security and that time security to control the time of possession in order for them to be fresh and rotate and have different coverages on the back end.
David, question for you. This is Sam Macho. Yes, Daniel Jones had a ton of turnovers, but a lot of those could be attributed to the offensive line, right? It wasn't the second or third read. It was 2.2 seconds.
Always blaming the offensive line.
Not always. I just call it. I call it like I see it.
You played
offensive line, right? Like, what is New York? What are the Giants doing to address the issues at offensive line? Because if you don't have time to throw it, I don't care who you are. We saw with Cam Newton yesterday with Isaiah Wynn got beat early in the game.
Yep.
Sack, fumble. Like, what is New York? Because that's my biggest concern. What has New York done?
I got to give you a hard time. But, yeah, I definitely think that the offensive line was part of what hamstringed Daniel Jones' development. And I think that hamstringed Jason Garrett's ability to call games last year. You think with no offseason, no OTAs, no minicamps, the entire left side of the Giants' offensive line was rookies, and their center was a first starting center in the NFL. So you knew that Jason Garrett had to manipulate game plans and tone them down based upon the accessibility and the availability of their offensive line. As I said, this year there's absolutely no excuse. Think about Andrew Thomas looking so much better and trusting his techniques and fundamentals and actually starting to initiate the fight instead of last year. Sam, you know this. As an offensive tackle, you've got to be a boxer. You can't be a gunslinger. Those hands always have to be up, and you've got to be able to punch and counterpunch. A lot of times last year, because he didn't have that offseason, reverted back to his own ways and started to shoot from the hip. That gives the defensive end all the body surface and all the chest area they need to collapse the pocket. You think about Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez at the guard positions. I think that they'll do a better job this year. And they've really focused on this offensive line's pass pro and pass pro blocking techniques, and then the competition at right tackle between Nate Solder, who opted out last year due to COVID, and Matt Parrott coming into his second year. This is exactly what you want to see out of this Giants offensive line. It's competition, no guarantees, and they will continue to get better as the more reps as they continue to gather together. But let's face it, they're going to make or break this Giants season.
David, always great to catch up with you, my man. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a great one, guys.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Sam Acho. Key will be back with us in a few minutes. So while he's not here, let's make fun of him. Because always that opportunity to talk about those who are not here right now. But instead, I think the better thing to do is to talk to people who are listening right now. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we've been discussing a lot of the NFL preseason and all the attention on the young quarterbacks, quarterback battles, quarterback stories in the NFL. So let's begin with Fitzgerald in Alabama. Fitzy, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, I worked a midnight shift, so I didn't get to hear what you said about Jalen Hurts. So what were you guys' thoughts on him?
Yeah, no, well, Fitzgerald, first of all, I think it would be appropriate to say Roll Tide Roll, right, for you?
Roll Tide, baby, Roll Tide.
There it is. I remember the first time I was in Alabama, I heard that song, Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everybody there added the Roll Tide Roll. Yeah. So that welcomed me. I was impressed by Jalen Hurts. I was impressed by Jalen Hurts. I was impressed by his elusiveness in the pocket. He made some really nice throws. He obviously overthrew a couple passes. I think he's the quarterback for Philadelphia for this year. People talk about Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco, in my opinion, did not come in there to be a backup. Joe Flacco came there not only to compete for a starting spot, but he fully believes he can be the starter. He's a first-round pick, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. But one thing that I saw in Jalen Hurts that I didn't see in Joe Flacco was just that ability to move in the pocket. Yes, Joe Flacco made some phenomenal throws. We saw the quick screen to Quez Watkins and 79-yard touchdown. But Joe Flacco was also, for lack of better terms, a statue, right? He sits there, he gets sacked. That's kind of what happens. And so I liked what I saw from Jalen Hurts. Obviously, he's going to continue to get reps in the preseason, his first preseason this year. That was a nice pass right there to Dallas Goedert. I was a fan of what I saw. This is the one, overthrown. He had a couple that he overthrew. You don't like those, but I was a fan.
Highlights you're seeing right now on ESPN News. And that's really, for him, I think, again, for last year it was a lot of with Jalen Hurts. He's not Carson Wentz was a bigger reason for why everybody wanted to see him.
Yeah.
You know, but the players were telling you, I like this guy in the huddle. He has commanded the huddle. We knew that about him. I'm a big Alabama fan. So, yep. Like, for me, I knew what he was about. Even losing his job to Tua, he did so, though, with the kind of character you
and
like
grace.
Out of a guy, right?
Yeah.
Then he moves on. He goes to it was Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
And he gets that one more year in to get into some offense to show what he can do in the pocket. And then he gets to Philly, which was a little bit of a surprise pick.
Yep.
But it ended up being this is exactly what they needed because Carson didn't work out. They go to him, and now all he has to do is just continue. I think that's what Sirianni said. Just continue to show me improvement on everything, all your decision-making, everything you do, so we know we can rely on you. Continuing with the calls, how about we go to a call about Green Bay situation, this summer of love there. Chauncey?
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Thanks for calling.
All right. My question is, let's just say that Jordan Love plays great during the preseason. Will there be an opportunity, you think, where they could trade Jordan Love?
No.
You don't think preseason – but the preseason for him is really important, but it's probably more important for Green Bay to just have some type of evidence – because, I mean, Dan Orlovsky said this yesterday. Jordan Love hasn't played in a real live-action game in like a year and a half.
Yeah. They're not going to – no. So, like, Jordan Love doesn't have a ton of trade value right now, first and foremost. And even if he plays well in the preseason, there aren't going to be a lot of people that would want to trade for him
clamoring
to be their backup.
For him, right?
Exactly. So, I think the bigger issue, the better question is, if Jordan Love plays really, really well in the preseason – what does it mean for Aaron Rodgers' future with the team, right? Obviously, you know.
Well, doesn't Aaron Rodgers decide that now? They give him the power to
Yes and no. But what I would say is if Jordan Love is who everyone in Green Bay thought that Jordan Love was supposed to be, if he turns out to be that with an offseason, right, no COVID, all these things, plays well, then it's like, okay, Aaron Rodgers, I appreciate you. You did what you needed to do, but all right, bye-bye. It's time for you to go, right? I have a different opinion on this. Some people believe that Aaron Rodgers, what he did was great, and it was, you know, he was, you know, genuine and sharing his feelings, all these things. But as a general manager, you'd rather be too early than too late. You'd rather have your quarterback of the future earlier than later. Look what happened when Aaron Rodgers even got there. They had Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Brett Favre gets traded to the New York Jets, and then Aaron Rodgers steps in. And so I personally want Jordan Love to shine this preseason. Yes, people will say that the preseason doesn't matter. He's playing against backups. But I think that it's the circle of life in the NFL and in any industry, right? Like you replace people. I replaced Joey Porter. Joey Porter, you know, defensive player of the year. He played in Pittsburgh, went to Arizona Cardinals. He had an injury. Boom, boom. I replaced him. Well, fast forward 10 years later, after my 9 years after my NFL career, Khalil Mack replaced me. People get replaced. I love how I put myself between two great tracks. People get replaced at the end of the day. And so, no, Jordan Love is not going to be traded, number one. And number two, if he has a good preseason, at least he'll have an opportunity to help Green Bay.
That's what it is. It's to feel like, let's see, at least we have something. And the experience for him, the reps alone are the valuable part of this thing for Jordan Love and for Brian Gutekunst and the hierarchy in Green Bay, because you don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. So at least you have something on tape and live action to see, even though it's obviously not real because it's not regular season. But it will matter. Again, the scores don't matter. A lot of results don't matter. Preseason is just there for show, but it does matter, probably the most of anywhere it does in Green Bay. We have time quickly for one more. Let's go. Aaron in North Carolina. Come on, Aaron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Real quick.
So I'm a diehard Giants fan, but I have a. I wanted to weigh in on the Justin Fields starting conversation. I think especially because Chicago pretty much gave up four draft picks, including both firsts, in order to get him. I think they need to get him on the field ASAP, and I think the owner will push that as well.
That's exactly what we were saying, right, Sam? We were saying that before, is that while Bill Belichick has no pressure on him with Mac Jones, in Chicago they do.
Yeah, absolutely. But just because you gave up a lot for him does not mean you need to start him right now. You gave up a lot for him for his future for the next 5, 10, hopefully 15, or even 20 years. And so I think, yes, he needs to play, but not right away.
Yeah, no, not right away. But, of course, people certainly want to see him. All right, from Justin Fields to cornfields, the Hollywood ending in Iowa that we have to discuss next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.